Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4, packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I'm Anna Garcia with True Crime News, the podcast. Every crime tells a story. Every story demands justice. True Crime News, the podcast, covers breaking crimes, investigating high-profile and under-the-radar cases. Every week, we dive beyond the headlines, exploring the effects of violent crimes on victims and search for justice. We hope you join us as your weekly source for true crime news. Listen to and follow True Crime News, the podcast, on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
It is the JR Sport Brief Show here with you coast to coast on the Infinity Sports Network. I'm coming to you live from Atlanta, Georgia. Thank you to everybody tuned in and locked in all over North America. I hope you had a tremendous weekend. It's Monday. It's been Monday all damn day. I'm going to be hanging out with you for the next 4 hours, and we got a lot to get into. The NFL continues to roll on. Yes, it's Monday. That means Monday Night Football. You don't have to wait but about 2 hours before we have more action. I know you can't wait for this. Cincinnati and Dallas. Yeah, lots of fun. College football playoff rankings done. Brackets set. Alabama out. Miami out. SMU in. We'll get into that. Last night, Juan Soto ends up with the biggest contract ever in professional sports history. We're going to talk about the college football playoff. We're going to get into that contract. We're, a matter of fact, in 20 minutes, we're going to talk more college football. We're going to be joined by Bill Bender from the Sporting News. In 2 hours from now, we're going to be joined by David Sampson, who you can always check out on or CBS platforms and podcasts. He used to run the Florida Marlins, so we'll talk to him about what this Juan Soto deal means for the New York Mets, what it means for baseball. Well, it's just a lot. The NFL is going through a stretch run. Somehow, some way, the 49ers are still alive. The Rams are showing some life. Man, we got a lot to talk about. Oh, and Bill Belichick's still alive. Well, thank God he's still alive. Alive and still in contention, talking to North Carolina about becoming their head coach. Wow. Wild stuff. You can always listen to the show on the free Odyssey app, AUDACY. It's free. You like something free, there you have it. You can always tune in on your local Infinity Sports Network affiliate if you got SiriusXM, it's channel 158. And if you have a smart speaker, ask the speaker to play the Infinity Sports Network. It is that damn easy. You want to call us? You can do that too. 855-212-4227. That's 855-212-4227. You can also find me online. I am everywhere. I'm like Santa Claus. I'm everywhere. I know where you're sleeping. I know where you're awake. I am at JR Sport Brief. I am not a stalker. I just know a lot of things. I think I know what this answer is going to be. Hey, Hickey, how are you on this Monday?
JR, this is the greatest Monday of my life up to this point.
Come on.
Come on.
Exaggeration for Juan Soto, the greatest of your life?
Well, Mets signing Juan Soto and the message it sends to all of baseball and the Yankees. Penn State making the playoff for the first time in my life and getting a pretty favorable draw. Right. Yeah. You know what? On this Monday, I'm feeling pretty good today.
Okay. All right. Okay. Well, you still want to stand by this, the greatest Monday of your life?
Well, I hope that changes. I mean, I hope on a Monday we're talking about a Mets World Series parade, a Mets World Series championship. Yeah, I mean, eventually I'd like to get there. But right now, until that happens, this we'll have to do.
Okay. We'll talk about Mr. Juan Soto and his, you know the number. Is it 765? Is that correct? Can it go up to 800?
65 over 15 years. Not bad.
Wow. Wow, 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 wow. What a world. I need to learn how. Is it too late for me to hit a ball? Too late, right? Way too late.
Probably too late. But not too late for if you have any kids going forward here and know any youngsters at the Little League field, maybe coach them up. You can, hey, kid, sign me now. I'll teach you how to hit. Give me half your commission in like 30 years and you could be set.
Wow. Okay. All right. Yeah, by the way, DeAndre Jordan almost ran over me and my kid yesterday. You want to talk about my kid? I'm happy that both of us are here. This man was sprinting out the tunnel, a full sprint. And when you happen to be a foot taller than everybody and you can't see around corners, he almost flattened me and my kid. He almost destroyed us. He stopped. Full on hug. He could have smashed me and my child.
Wow, that's, I mean, you won't get 765, but damn, that's pretty damn close again. Pretty rich as well.
I should have let him hit both of us.
I think you told me before the show your arm was sore, right? Like you lost sensation in your arm, right?
Yeah.
Like
you can't lift my back.
It above your head. Yeah, my back. Like broken,
Yeah.
Huh. That happened yesterday, right? You said?
Yeah, last night at the Hawks game. Yeah, you're right.
Huh.
Yeah, and then DeAndre Jordan as a way of, hey man, I almost destroyed you. He gave me a pat on the back, like, bro, that could have been real bad. But it did. My back is hurting. It is again. This is a stinging sensation. Hick, you know a lawyer?
Oh, I got a few. I think there's someone on the line right now calling. They hear that. They're ready.
Okay. All right. Well, I think I'll be giving the Denver Nuggets and DeAndre Jordan a piece of my mind sooner than later. But, shout-outs to Juan Soto. I'm sure he could recommend a good lawyer. Maybe I could have him pay for it. But there was so much that went on over the weekend. The Sam Darnold lost his damn mind. Kirk Cousins still looks like trash. The Chiefs and the Eagles, they're winning games, but people are finding problems with how they're going out there and winning these games. So it's wild. But let's get this out the way because we're going to get into the football and more. And we'll talk to Bill Bender in about 15 minutes. I just have to say this. If you're a fan of Alabama, please get over it. That's it. Get over it. Like, don't complain about not getting in. Blame yourselves. Like, nobody wants to hear that anymore. Alabama's been beating up on everybody forever. In the first year of Kalen DeBoer coming in, and now you've expanded the playoff into 12 teams, and the SEC is still great and all of that. Just get over it, please. Everybody always wants to make excuses about external factors instead of, first of all, looking at what the hell they've done. And the last time I looked, Alabama lost 3 games. They got smacked by the Sooners 24-3. They lost to Vanderbilt. And okay, the other loss was to Tennessee. Reasonable. Okay, fine. But the fact is, if you didn't get smacked around by the Sooners, there's a good chance you would have been in this playoff. And I get it. Everybody now wants to look at strength of schedule. And they want to compare the schedule to SMU and what they did. SMU just lost to Clemson. That was a close one. And Clemson almost choked it away. Now we get more Dabo Sweeney. And SMU's only other loss was to BYU, and they were still worth a damn earlier in the year. And so the fact of the matter is, I think we all would agree and say the ACC is a weaker conference. It's not the SEC. But just win the games next time, okay? Wah, wah, wah. Alabama didn't get in. Wah, wah, wah. Do something next time. Win the games. Everybody knew that this is what it was going to come down to. And Alabama didn't cut the mustard. Alabama didn't get the job done. So Alabama is going to sit around, go to a bowl, and watch just like everybody else. And of course, naturally, Kalen DeBoer, who was coaching in a national championship game last year for the Huskies, this man sat around and said he was disappointed. I'm sure he is.
I mean, we want to play competitive games. We want to play the best games. And, you know, I understand how it didn't feel like that. It really definitely wasn't rewarded. It felt like, with our schedule and the wins we had against teams, that were ranked or even ranked at the time. Cause there's, I think even like an LSU, at the time was ranked and isn't anymore, but, we'll have to, I'll let Greg and, administratively kind of lead the charge and better understand of, you know, what needs to be done for the future, if anything at all.
What needs to be done into the future? Man, we got the athletic director who is just like, oh, now I need to sit around and, oh, the committee, the playoff committee is not really taking into account a strength of schedule. So now I need to think about who I schedule up against. It's like, bruh, like, what do we do? So now you, Hickey, what are they doing? Alabama's punking out. What are they going to do now? They're going to take on Powder Puffs? They're like, oh, the SEC, it doesn't matter. What are they doing?
Can you find an easier opponent to play than Mercer? I don't know if that's possible.
Well, you'd be in disrespectful to Georgia right now. Georgia schools. Go ahead. Continue on.
No, it's just ironic that they're – that's what I don't understand. Everyone's bitching about, oh, we got to – you know, if you are not going to take strength of schedule into consideration, then we're not going to schedule any hard opponents. Number one, you didn't get left – like, you got left out because you lost three games. And you had an easy non-conference schedule. At Wisconsin, okay. Now, Wisconsin's not very good this year. But other than that, you played Mercer, you played Western Kentucky, and I couldn't even tell you who the first team they played was. A bad team.
Yeah, it was Western Kentucky.
And South Florida. That was
Florida. USF, yeah. And they beat Western Kentucky 63-0.
How is easing it, if that's the right word or not an already pretty soft strength of schedule. How is that helping you get in? Which, by the way, you were 4-0 non-conference. I don't get the correlation. Like, it's like, you know what's frustrating? People don't even know why they're upset. They don't even know what they're yelling at. They don't even know why they got left out, and they're just saying random nonsense because they don't even have an answer themselves. It's stupidity.
Well, it's human nature, Hickey. When you don't do what you're supposed to do, what do people typically do? They blame somebody else. And that's what the hell we got here. I mean, this entire system is basically set up just for people to yell and argue and to be upset. But, I mean, last year, we went through this whole damn system. Well, they've expanded the playoff. So if you wanted to get in, all you had to do was win. And so just leave it where it is. But everybody needs to speak and yell and cry and whine. And even Lane Kiffin is sitting around on Twitter. He's on X and just complaining and whining too. Just win next time. People got excuses for everything. But I give Kalen DeBoer some credit. He's a classy individual. Only but so much crying and whining that he's going to do. Because yesterday, while he said he was disappointed, I guess he found the silver lining. Alabama, not in playoff contention. I know Alabama fans are upset about that. Fine. He says, you know what? I'm still excited for the future. I'm excited for who we play. I'm excited for more championships. I'm excited for non-conference games. I'm excited to get outside the SEC. I'm excited for it all. Okay, whatever.
I know we got some, you know, some what would you consider higher profile games against, you know, programs that traditionally have been very successful. You know, we want to be a part of that. We want that to happen. That's the exciting thing about college football, is being in as many big games as possible. You know, we don't want to back down to that. We want to be a part of it. And, you know, that hopefully will be rewarded down the road.
Man, if you can't get into a 12-team playoff, you don't deserve to be there. That's it. Now, if everybody wants to have a fit next year, then blame Kalen DeBoer. Because that's why you brought him in. You saw what this guy did at Washington. You saw what he did before then. This guy goes to programs and he wins. Okay, not that big of a deal. A big deal, but not that big of a deal that he didn't win a championship this year in his first time in Alabama. Not a massive deal that he went 9-3 picking up after Nick Saban. Didn't make the playoff. But next year, if he doesn't get in, there's going to be hell to pay. I'm not going to put him in the category of Mr. Kelly down in Baton Rouge, Louisiana with LSU. But there are going to be a lot of people looking at Kalen DeBoer going, well, when are we going to win something? Especially if they don't make the playoff next year. You can't do this. Bad idea. Terrible. Hickey, if they don't go to the playoff next year, they're going to want to fire him right off the gate, right?
I'm sure there are fans saying that right now this year. Yeah, the pressure's high, and I thought he would make the playoff for sure. Definitely surprised with how inconsistent they were, but yeah, the pressure, I mean. Look, Nick Saban didn't get off to the greatest start either, right? So it's not, you know, slow starts aren't the death knell. But you ain't kidding. There's going to be a lot of pressure on Alabama and a big spotlight on Kalen here in 2025.
Yeah, there's year one. What did they say about shame on me? And isn't it some type of cliche? Fool me once, shame on me. Fool me twice, shame on me. I don't know, Hickey. I don't know.
Sound like George Bush right now.
Is that what he... That's not when he got the shoe thrown at him, right?
No. Totally different timer. He tried to figure that out on the fly as well and just butchered the saying. The saying is, fool me once, shame on you.
Right.
Fool me twice, shame on me.
Uh-huh.
And as George Bush would say, you can't get fooled again.
That part I do remember. That part I remember him saying. Yeah, good luck. Good luck, Kalen DeBoer. And if you're a fan of Alabama, get over it, okay? Hickey, you got to be honest. And maybe not so much recently. But this is like older Yankee fans complaining about that too, right? Can I put them all in the same category?
Yeah, lump them together as one gigantic pot. I like it.
Yeah, okay. If you are a, I don't know, 35 to 50-year-old, 50, 60-year-old Laker fan, Yankee fan, Cowboy fan, Alabama fan. Hickey, did I miss anything? That's probably all of them lumped together, right?
Yeah, I can't. Yes, at least the four major. Yeah, hockey is not really part of that. Yeah.
If you have been a front runner your entire sports life, if you're an Alabama fan, just get over it. It's the JR Sport Brief Show here with you coast to coast on the Infinity Sports Network. We're just getting started. We're going to talk about Juan Soto's contract. We're going to get into that deal. David Sampson, a former president of the Marlins, is going to join us. In about 5 minutes, we're going to have a chat with Bill Bender from the Sporting News. We're going to dive deep into the teams that actually made it into the college football playoff and the teams that did not. We're going to talk about Bill Belichick potentially admitting that he is maybe on his way to North Carolina. We'll talk about some pro football, the Bills losing to the Rams yesterday, the Chiefs and Eagles winning, but not pretty. We got a lot to do. It's Monday. We're just getting started. Bender on the other side to talk some college ball. You're locked into the JR Sport Brief Show here with you coast to coast on the Infinity Sports Network.
You're listening to the JR Sport Brief.
It is the JR Sport Brief Show here with you coast to coast on the Infinity Sports Network. College football playoff bracket is set. We know who's in. We know who's out. We got guys who are hurt. We got guys who are not. We got a better idea what we're going to see over the next month and change. Man, we got a team that doesn't not going to play for about a month. To talk about it all, who's in, who's out, what we can expect, what we shouldn't. Joining us right now is a senior writer, covers all things college football for the Sporting News. It's Bill Bender. Bill, how are you?
Hey, I'm doing well. Thanks for having me on.
Well, thank you for taking the time to join us. Right before you came on, we talked about Alabama and a lot of their fans bellyaching about the fact that they're not in this first season of the Kalen DeBoer era. What are your thoughts on Bama not making it in and their responses given their strength of schedule?
I think it's fair both ways in some ways, but I'm glad that the committee didn't set a dangerous precedent where we're going to just do what we want regardless of the wins and losses. I thought when SMU was down 17 points that, yeah, if they get run out of the field here, maybe we can put Alabama in. But once they rallied and made it respectable, I think it's healthy for the game. I say all that knowing that if, and this is hypothetical, if SMU was playing Alabama, I would probably pick Alabama to win the football game.
Well, I think most of us would. Now, having said that, and having gone through this first exercise here, 12-team expansion, is there anything that you would adjust? Or do you think, hey, we got 12 teams now. Hey, y'all battle it out and figure it out.
I think more of that. And I'll tell you this. You know what I struggled with the most on Saturday night as I was trying to put together our projections was how are they going to seed 5-8? You know, how are they going to seed Notre Dame, Penn State, Ohio State, and Texas? And I think their answer was we're not going to penalize teams for making the conference championship game. Now, one argument Ohio State fans are having is, hey, we beat Penn State. You know, we played Oregon to one point. And I understand that, too. But in general, I like the first-round pairings. I'm excited to watch these football games. I'm excited to watch Indiana-Notre Dame. I'm excited to watch Tennessee-Ohio State, Texas-Clemson, even SMU-Penn State. I think they did a good job with that. That said, the big adjustment is I think we have to seed this thing like we rank it. You know what I mean? Like, I think 1 to 12 should be how they're seeded in the bracket. That's the biggest confusion point of the whole thing.
Bill Bender here with us from the Sporting News. So you're not in favor of, dare I say, like the conference bye, where Boise State is now sitting pretty for a while?
Not yet. Happy for Boise State. You know, I grew up, in the BCS era. I wanted them to get a title shot. I'm glad for Ashton Gentry. I'm glad for all of that. But I don't know that they deserve a first-round bye. I don't know that Arizona State does. Now, Arizona State can prove me wrong. They were playing as well as anybody late in the season. But I think there has to be this thought process. I compare those top four seeds to the one seeds in basketball. We don't have a problem when North Carolina and Duke both get one seeds. Why would we have a problem if it was, you know, Oregon and Penn State or Texas and Georgia that played two? Well, that game Saturday was amazing, by the way, between Texas and Georgia.
Well, Bill, having said that, we know that as of right now, Carson Beck is going to be out indefinitely. He's getting a second opinion on that arm and that elbow, which he can't raise or move. And, of course, he heroically handed the ball off to Etienne and to pretty much end things. What are your thoughts on Georgia? Is it just all up in the air, depending on this guy's arm?
It changes the outlook, definitely. I mean, I thought Gunnar Stockton played well, but what do we do now? I mean, I think the bigger story for them was Trevor Etienne kind of giving the running game a jolt. And obviously Carson Beck being out impacts everything. I mean, with him, I had him making the championship game. I think one of the most impactful potential games is Notre Dame versus Georgia if Notre Dame beats Indiana. Then you have this Notre Dame team that's played awesome going to play Georgia, and the Bulldogs without Carson Beck would have to answer that question. I think they have enough talent to win the national title. Can they actually do it without their quarterback? I mean, it also depends on which half we see, right? First half Georgia and second half Georgia have been a pretty different story most of the year.
Well, the team that they just beat, you don't got to tell me they're right on down the road. Carson Beck, man, I look at that guy, I expect interceptions, okay? I'm happy when he doesn't go out there and throw one. But the guy that was on the opposing side for Texas, Quinn Ewers, thank God he walked away healthy. That's nice. He threw two interceptions, and we know how difficult Georgia's defense is. Do you expect Texas to kind of get on a little bit more of a roll? They've only lost to Georgia. They got Clemson, and if they advance, they take on Arizona. What are your thoughts on what the Longhorns can actually do?
They could win the whole thing with that defense. Their defense is nasty. It stops the run. Anthony Hill, Jadae Barron, they've got NFL guys all over that unit. Quinn Ewers, I can't imagine the pressure of what he's doing knowing that Arch Manning's behind him. And every time he throws an interception, you see it on social media. Put in Arch! And I keep telling everyone that's not going to happen. I mean, maybe it happens in a playoff game like a Jalen Tua type thing, but Tua played a lot. And I don't know that Arch has played that much other than when Quinn was out. I think Quinn Ewers faces a tremendous amount of pressure, but if they can run the ball, and their path is pretty good. I mean, if they can beat Clemson, Arizona State, and get in the semis, I would like, I could match Texas against Oregon or Ohio State, and I think it would be a really compelling game either way because I really do trust that Texas defense. It's they just like you said, when Quinn Ewers' completion percentage is less than 60%, they're 0-2. So he can't be erratic in these playoffs.
Bill Bender is joining us from the Sporting News. Oregon, they've been sitting number one all year long. We saw, and it's still a hell of an adjustment for me to think about them in the Big Ten. But we saw what they did over the weekend. What are your thoughts on them? We know there's so much parity in the tournament right now.
Yeah, there's something to be said about being able to go through the entire season 13-0. Their defense is nasty. Their running game is good. And I think Dylan Gabriel, I haven't seen if it came out yet. I was driving, but he should be a Heisman finalist. He's done a nice job leading that team. So I think Dan Lanning has all the pieces in place. But as I pointed out, you know, we had five teams go 15-0 the last 10 years. You have to be truly special to do that. Do we actually have a team special enough to go 16-0? What a standard that would set for the rest of this thing with 12 teams in the playoff. They are capable of doing it. They don't have a friendly draw because whoever they play in that first game, whether it's Ohio State who played them to 1 point or Tennessee who does a lot of things well, running the football, playing defense, Dylan Sampson's awesome. Oregon doesn't have an easy draw to the championship game, but it's been pretty fantastic what they've been able to accomplish so far.
Hey, Bill, you mentioned a Heisman. Are you going with a Travis Hunter? Are we looking at a Gentry? What are your thoughts on how that's going to bear?
Well, here, I sent my vote this morning. We're not allowed. Heisman does not allow us to reveal our vote till it's Saturday. I'll just say that it was really tough to pick because Ashton Gentry, what a compelling case. He's so awesome, too. You know, the way that he carries that team, the crowd was chanting, Gentry, Gentry, Gentry on Friday night. I thought it was amazing. Travis Hunter's doing some special things. It's not just the snap count. He makes impactful plays. Didn't it seem like he was always in the right place at the right time for them, whether it was on offense or defense? And that means you're a special player when you make plays like that all the time. I think Dylan Gabriel and Cam Ward deserve consideration as well. And I really wish Miami would have gotten the playoffs so I could have seen Cam Ward in these playoffs because I think he is the game changer at quarterback.
Ooh, when you say game changer at quarterback, do you believe he will be the first QB selected in next year's draft? Do you think he's the best in college?
If I was an NFL GM, I would take Shador first. And I've watched Shador for 2 years. If you look at Shador's touchdown interception ratio from Jackson State through Colorado, it's really quite amazing considering the number of sacks and times he was hit. I really like his game. I like Cam Ward. He makes the occasional bad throw, but I love his game as well. And then you get into Quinn Ewers and other guys that NFL teams, as you know, two or three teams are going to talk themselves into somebody. But for me, that conversation starts with Shador Sanders and Cam Ward.
All right, well, we got plenty of time to find. Well, we'll find out soon enough who's going to walk away with the Heisman. Well, we got a few months until we find out what happens with the draft. By the time we get to next month, with all of these teams and this new playoff and this new format, who would you favor to walk away with the new trophy?
Can I still say Texas?
Okay.
Am I allowed to say Texas? I think the Longhorns, they got to prove it in some of these games. If I picked Oregon, Georgia yesterday, we did some knee-jerk reactions, and I do think, you know, the one thing that will make this special is there can't be a ton of chalk. What makes March Madness so special is those first-round upsets. What I'm worried about is that those four first-round games have spreads of 7 points or more. So if we treat ourselves to, like, four blowouts, we're going to sit here and say, why are there 12 teams in there? And that I am actually worried about that. I hope that we have some unpredictableness. I don't know if that's a word, but I used it. And
I'm with it,
I want some chaos in this thing and some teams to win that shouldn't win.
Yeah, no, I'm all for chaos. Speaking of chaos, if Texas, by what you say, not that you're, you know, you're a psychic, but if they win, can Quinn Ewers just get the hell out of Dodge so we can watch Arch Manning? Because what is that situation going to look like? Yeah, like Quinn, we know, like you say, Arch is behind him. We want to see Arch. We don't want to see Quinn.
The appetite for Arch Manning's off the charts. And I think, for me, it's not just, hey, I spent a good portion of my adult life watching Peyton and Eli.
Yeah,
I think he's really good. I think he's mobile. I think he's fun to watch. That I watched both starts. They had me right. They had me great at start against Mississippi State at Sporting News, and I enjoyed every second of it because he throws a beautiful deep ball. And, you know, whether it means portal or NFL for Quinn Ewers, I think next year seeing Arch Manning, I believe they play Ohio State early in the season. I've got that one circled, as you can tell. That'll be a lot of fun to see him come play there.
Oh, it will. It will. It'll be cool to see what Arch can do as well. Quinn Ewers needs to move on with his life. And final question for you as we're wrapping things up here, Bill. We talk about transitions. Bill Belichick said that he is entertaining this job at UNC. Do you think this man would fit in amongst the youngsters, or is this just he's used to it already because the college is such a pro thing now?
I'm really intrigued by the idea of Bill Belichick wearing baby blue. I am, because it reminded me of a long time ago when Bill Walsh coached at Stanford after the 49ers. But this would be times 100. I mean, this is a guy that's won all those Super Bowls. I still think he's better fit if an NFL team wants him. He can chase Don Shula's record and go from there. But if he were to go to college, you know, his team would be pretty good on the defensive side of the ball, would be interested to see how he interacts with young players. And you can't say he wouldn't be good for the game. I think he would be great for the college game. We need characters like him. Look what Deion's been able to do in a short time.
Belichick might own the state, you know, sooner than later if he were to go down to North Carolina. I don't know how long he'd stick around, but he'd own the state. We'll see. We got a lot to figure out over the next couple of days, several weeks, months. Hey, Bill, always a pleasure. Thank you for the time. Where can people follow you and your work with the sporting news?
Yeah, I'm at sportingnews.com at Bill Bender. This was a lot of fun. Hey, can we do this again before we get into, like, the first round of the playoff? This was a lot of fun to talk to you.
Oh, it's always a pleasure to talk to you. Hey, how about we every round, except for the rounds where I'm just like, I don't know, not here.
Sounds good to me. We'll make it happen.
Hey, Bill, you take it easy. We'll catch you down the line, all right?
Thank you.
No doubt about it. That Bill Bender from the Sporting News covers all things college football. Yeah, Hickey, we gotta have Bill on. We got to have him back.
Let's do it. I'm down. That was fun.
I think there's a time where, what am I not here? Christmas to New Year's, right? I'm not going to be here for the New Year's Day game. So we'll get him before and after, I guess, right?
Perfect. Nice little bookend.
Yeah. Bill is good. Good stuff. Yeah, Hickey, there's not a guy that I want to get out of college football more than Quinn Ewers. Just go away, man. We don't know what Archer's ceiling is going to be, but he's neither Eli or Peyton, but you would imagine he's somewhere in the middle, but just with some athleticism, right? I want to see it. Like, for years, Hickey, I wanted to see what Bronny James was as he was growing and becoming a McDonald's All-American, and I wanted to see Bronny James. Oh, what is he going to do in college? How is he going to set himself up to play in the pros with his dad? And unfortunately, this guy had a heart ailment. And it just brought levity to the situation. Welcome to real life. And it just killed it off. Like, we got Arch Manning here. Like, let's see what the hell he can do. I'm ready for it. Hickey, I hope Quinn Ewers, hope he loses terribly and then just wants to leave.
What I'm interested in, though, is that if he keeps playing poor like he has, does he go to the draft?
That's what, didn't we have that conversation last week?
I don't know.
He has to transfer, too. He might.
He
can't stay there with Archbond. A, they're not going to want him. B, does he want that pressure? We got all these guys who are just, I don't want to call them quitters, Miller Mars. He's like, oh, they benched me. Oh, the coach is gone. Oh, everybody's leaving. I got to leave, too. He'd leave. I don't think he'd go into the draft. What is he in the NFL? A backup quarterback? Not bad. Backup third string?
Yeah, probably like a Sam Howell kind of guy, maybe get a few starts here and there, but just travel as a journeyman backup.
Yeah, you know, he ain't no starter. If he got drafted, what day is he getting drafted? Day two?
The only thing is they get so jacked up, these quarterbacks. I would probably say day two, but
yeah.
Could I see a bad team talking themselves into Quinn Ewers? I could. into the first round.
No, I don't think it's crazy.
I don't think it's crazy at all.
Quinn Ewers is one of those guys where it's like, hey, I'm your agent, bro. Just stay home.
No green room for you, buddy. No Will Levis 2.0 here.
No green room. You know what? Let's take it a step further. No cameras in the house either, okay?
Mm.
We don't need to see. Stay home. Could get ugly quick. I want to know, are these guys obligated to put the cameras in their house? Or are they? I don't know. Can't make me do anything, right? Can't make me do that.
Right, but...
But what? You're going to get paid, so you sign on the dotted line as a part of the process? I don't
probably
know.
That, yeah.
You want the exposure? Of course you want the exposure, but no.
At the risk of being a meme?
Yeah, I was going to say good luck to Quinn Ewers, but I don't want to wish him luck. I know. I want to see Arch. I want to see the next generation of Manning. I'm ready for it. It's the JR Sport Brief Show here with you coast to coast on the Infinity Sports Network. 855-212-4227. That's 855-212-4227. Forget the next generation of Manning. Let's talk about a guy who doesn't like the Mannings, especially Eli. He whooped them up a couple of times. We're going to talk about Belichick. Is he really going to North Carolina? He spoke about it earlier today. We're going to get into some pro football. We'll talk more college. We'll talk about Juan Soto and his contract.
You're listening to the JR Sport Brief.
It is the JR Sport Brief Show here with you coast to coast on the Infinity Sports Network. This portion of the show is brought to you by Wesley Financial. Are you stuck in a timeshare and want out? Contact Wesley Financial Group now and get a free timeshare exit information kit at wesleyfinancialgroup.com. Thank you so much. On our last break, we were joined by Bill Bender of the Sporting News. He believes that Texas is going to win the national championship. Good for them. I don't think so. Maybe, possibly. And we'll see what happens. Either way, I just would like to see Arch Manning. And I may have to wait until next year. That's more than likely, almost, unless Quinn Ewers gets hurt. But, hey, there you have it. Thank you to Bill Bender. If you missed that conversation, you go ahead and hit rewind on the free Odyssey app. I hope Quinn Ewers goes somewhere. Maybe he goes to the NFL. Maybe he ends up on another team. We'll find out sooner than later. Last week, there was a lot of news about somebody else and where they would go, where they wouldn't go, what have you. It's Bill Belichick. One of the most decorated coaches. It doesn't matter if you're looking at college football or you're looking at professional football. We know Bill Belichick is probably 3 years away in the NFL from catching Don Shula with the most career victories in the league. But Bill Belichick would have to be back in the pros first. And apparently, he's not. Apparently, there's no interest or not enough. And so we got these rumors that Bill Belichick met with North Carolina twice last week to take over their job since they gave Mac Brown his walking papers. And just the thought and the idea of Bill Belichick going from the pros to college is just, it makes you go, huh, that old guy, that old curmudgeon? Like, guys didn't like him in the pros. Most, some. How's he going to deal with college students? How's he going to deal with NIL? I mean, Nick Saban left the system because he didn't want to deal with these athletes wanting to get paid and what have you. And Bill Belichick is used to these guys getting paid. But is he going to relate to a youngster? First of all, Bill Belichick, he was on Pat McAfee earlier today, and he told everybody, yeah, I could do NFL. I could coach in college. Because he told Pat McAfee, he said that there are a lot of similarities between both.
It seems like college football is more like pro football. I've talked to a lot of college coaches about things like the salary cap and putting value on players and negotiating, kind of mixing all that together. So I think there are some similarities from what I've heard. I haven't experienced it firsthand, but.
Yeah, we know. We know you haven't experienced it firsthand. And so what the hell would you do at a college program, Bill? How would you run it? Not like the pros, right? You're not going to, you know, hurt anybody's feelings, right?
Let me put this in capital letters. If.
Yeah.
IF. If I was in a college program, the college program would be a pipeline to the NFL for the players that had the ability to play in the NFL. It would be a professional program, training, nutrition, scheme, coaching, techniques that would transfer to the NFL. It would be an NFL program at a college level. And, you know, I feel very confident that I have the contacts in the National Football League to pave the way for those players that would have the ability to have the opportunity to compete in the National Football League. Whether they're good enough or not, I don't know. But they would be ready for it. I don't have any doubt about that.
Look at Belichick. He's telling everybody his resume. He's like, this is why I should be the coach of North Carolina. I'm going to bring in the players that are going to be potential pros, and I'm going to fix them up and send them on their way. And if you got the best players, you got the best chance of winning, right? And so that leads to the question, Bill. What the hell do you know about college? You know anything? You've been watching?
I grew up around college football and, you know, some great Navy teams there. And, you know, I learned a lot. And really kind of patterned a lot of my pro teams off of the teams that I grew up around in the 60s as a kid growing up at the Naval Academy. But yeah, look, as a pro coach, you always go back every year and go to different schools and look at their players and see their programs and learn from those coaches and their situations as well. So, I've had a chance this year to take a longer look at college football during the college season as opposed to in the spring from the draft perspective. So, I've had an opportunity to talk to Chancellor Roberts, and we've had a couple of good conversations, so we'll see how it goes.
Oh, okay. Look at this. Hickey, I love how Bill Belichick is just, he's lobbying for the job. He's giving his resume. He's telling everybody what he would do.
He seems like he would be into it. I want to see it happen. I think it'd be fun, interesting, exciting. Sign me up.
I'd have to watch North Carolina football. I'd have a reason now.
And maybe we can get us game scheduled here relatively soon between Colorado and UNC. And
a
nice little head coach duel. That'd be fun.
Oh, wow. That'd be fun. I mean, college programs are pretty much driven by the coaches and their personalities. And we know Bill Belichick's personality at the professional level. We know his reputation at the professional level. Some good, not so good. What about the guys who actually played for him? What about somebody like Julian Edelman? What about Robert Gronkowski? Yes, Robert Gronkowski. What about Thomas Brady? Hickey, when's the last time somebody called him Thomas? Never.
His mom, probably. I'm sure when he was younger.
Not his mom.
No?
I did it, though. I did it. Let's hear what Tom Brady, Julian Edelman, and Gronk think about Belichick in college. This is them on Fox.
Belichick is actually interviewing for college jobs? Can you imagine him coaching college?
No.
Absolutely not. Recruiting an 18-year-old?
You really want to come here? I mean, we don't really want you anyway, but I guess you could come. We'll figure out if you play.
If you bring your parents and use them as a third party, you're gone. You're off the team.
Yeah, they're joking. They're laughing, but there's some realism to that. Like, Bill Belichick is going to have to at least put on a warmer, friendlier, rosier outlook. I don't think he needs to do anything different. Just be who he is right there. In a lot of cases, this is Bill Belichick when he was around privately. It's just when he spoke to the media, he was a jerk. He would work out in college. I think he'd be fine. And then we get some of the angry stories. Or maybe not. I think he'd work out in college. I'd love to see it. I don't know if anybody in the NFL wants him. That time might be over for Belichick. It's the JR Sport Brief Show here with you coast to coast on the Infinity Sports Network. We're going to talk some NFL. We're going to talk some Juan Soto. I'm going to talk to you. It's the JR Sport Brief Show. Don't move.